Gummer, Joe Bud Lower. Hey, this is FieldBud.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the GUI Center of the international capital of the next big thing, San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 17th of September, 2015. On this date in 1630, the city of Boston, Massachusetts is founded by the Taliban of the day, the Puritans. 1776, Presidio, San Francisco is founded in New Spain. 1787, the U.S. Constitution is signed at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. 1849, American abolitionist Harriet Tubman escapes from slavery. 1859, in San Francisco, flamboyant nutter Joshua A. Norton declares himself Norton, the first emperor of the United States, ends up being good buds with Mark Twain, among others. 1862, Battle of Antietam, the bloodiest day in American military history. 1930, the Kurdish Ararat Rebellion is suppressed. 1939, Soviet Union invades Poland, and Molotov says Poland no longer has a government, as the Soviet Union exercises the secret clauses of the Hitler-Stalin non-aggression pact that started World War II. The secret agreement was not to become public until 1990. 1941, Soviet forces enter Tehran, marking the end of the Anglo-Soviet invasion of Iran. 1948, the Lehi, also known as the Stern Gang, assassinates Count Folke Bernadotte, who was appointed by the United Nations to mediate between Arab nations and Israel. 1957, Louis Armstrong cancels a trip to Russia because of what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas, where mobs of white citizens and armed National Guardsmen blocked the entrance of nine African-American students into the all-white Central High School. He said, quote, "The way they're treating my people in the South, the government can go to hell." And, quote, Armstrong claimed that President Eisenhower had no guts, and, quote, "It's getting so bad, a colored man hasn't got any country," end quote. 1976, the space shuttle is unveiled. 1978, the Camp David Accord signed, ending 3 decades of war between Egypt and Israel. 1980, after weeks of strikes at the Lenin shipyard in Gdansk, Poland, the nationwide independent trade union Solidarity is established. 1991, the first version of the Linux kernel, version 0.01, is released to the Internet. 2011, Occupy Wall Street movement begins in Zuccotti Park, New York City. Birthdays are William Carlos Williams, Ann Bancroft, Ken Kesey, Hank Williams Sr., and Narendra Modi. I'm your host, Mark Mullen, and as ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swieka. Got a special shout-out to Hunter King, New Orleans native, who's taking advantage of this MP3 University of Georgianness, shrewdly building his knowledge of the hip side of the Black Sea due to impending familial connections. Hunter, amigo, you have come to the right place. The Wesleyan connection is deep and far-flung. And we want to welcome the new ambassador, Ian Kelly. Hails from the windy city of Chicago, was in Tbilisi in the 70s when it was not crawling with Utskolevi as it is now. He co-chaired the Minsk group, so we know he is a man of great patience, measured in all things. Ambassador Kelly, welcome aboard. Sorry you're stuck out in the Northwest Territories. We encourage you to get into Tbilisi as frequently as possible and get out of town into the regions whenever you can. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra column this week is about Jeremy Corbyn winning the Labour Party elections in the UK, how whacked out that is and what it means for Georgia, which is not very much, except as an example of party members picking a leader, which is the opposite of the way it works in Georgia, where party leaders choose the members. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Remy asked about the drop in the Lari in 1998, why it hit a low then, a low that it is now nearing. The reason was that at that time, a precipitous drop in the value of the ruble, important in the end of the Yeltsin era, and therefore the arrival of Putin about a year and a half later, very similar to the situation we have now, just shows how connected the lari still is, at least to the ruble, due to remittances mainly, although much less connected to the Russian economy than it was then. If you'd like to comment on our forum or ask a question the way Remy did, thank you very much. Go to tbilpod.com. Or send us an email at tbilpod, tblpod, at gmail.com. So, Gigi Ugulava, on the 15th of September, the Constitutional Court was supposed to announce its verdict by a complaint filed by Ugulava about his 9-month pretrial detention limit, but the court had to delay the verdict because one of the 9 judges was absent from the session and it did not sign it. As a reminder, former Tbilisi Mayor Ugulava has been in pretrial detention for 14 months since July 2014. In April 2015, he appeared appealed to the Constitutional Court to repeal certain legislative clauses which he argued contradicted the constitutionally set 9-month limitation for pretrial detention. Criminal Procedures Code allows a person detention beyond that 9-month limitation if new charges are filed against them while they're still being held. When the original 9-month pretrial detention against Hugo Lava was nearing its end in March 2015, prosecutors requalified one of the criminal charges against Hugo Lava in order for him to remain in custody. So the Constitutional Court said earlier on the 15th of September that it was going to announce its verdict about Hugo Lava's appeal at 5 p.m. local time. But in the evening, the court said in a statement that it had to delay the announcement as the verdict lacked the signature of one of the 9 judges, Merab Turava, good friend of Eka Beselia, by the way, who cited, and I say with air quotes, health reasons for his not showing up. Turava became a member of the Constitutional Court in March 2015 after he was nominated by lawmakers from the Georgian Dream ruling coalition, much to-ing and fro-ing about the voting in Parliament about that, and was approved by Parliament eventually. A verdict by the Constitutional Court can only be announced after it's signed by all judges who participated in the adjudication of the case. The Constitutional Court said in their statement that a judge has no right to sign the final verdict, regardless of his or her opinion about the case. Turava did go to a hospital in Batumi, where the Constitutional Court is based, on the 15th of September. However, on the 16th, he said that although he was having problems with his blood pressure, his health issue was not the main reason why he did not sign the Constitutional Court's decision on Hugo Lava's complaint. He said that he did not sign it because he did not have reasonable time for studying the decision. He wanted more time to study the 50-page decision and wanted to lay out in written form any objections he may have. Turava said that the verdict was submitted to him for signing only an hour before the Constitutional Court said it was going to announce the decision and that it was disrespectful. The Constitutional Court responded that all 9 judges were given reasonable time to study the verdict. Members of the Constitutional Court, including the chairman, then went to the hospital to see Turava on the 16th of December to get his signature on the verdict. After that meeting, the Constitutional Court released a written statement saying that Turava was refusing to sign the verdict and that they will refer to the Constitutional Court's Ethics Commission. Hugo Lava's lawyer said that Turava was deliberately dragging out signing of the verdict in order to delay issuing the Constitutional Court's decision and to buy time for the prosecution. He claimed the prosecutor's office is hoping for a guilty verdict in at least one of the cases against Hugo Lava in Tbilisi court and wants to keep Hugo Lava in detention. If he's found guilty, the whole issue of his winning the Constitutional Court case would become irrelevant. Speaking at a parliamentary session on the 16th of September, a UNM lawmaker accused Turava of acting upon direct orders of Bidzina Ivanishvili, who, he said, wants to keep Hugo Lava in illegal detention at all costs. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili commented earlier in the day that the whole unclear situation does not, quote, contribute to the establishment of constitutional rule in the country and to the authoritativeness and trust towards the court, end quote. Late in the evening of the 16th of September, the chairman of the Constitutional Court, Gheorghe Papuashvili, announced the verdict that former Mayor Hugo Lava won the appeal, and the Constitutional Court ruled that the clause in the Criminal Procedure Code allowing for pretrial detention to exceed 9 months if a new set of charges are filed against the detainee was unconstitutional. 8 of the 9 Constitutional Court members were present at the announcement of the decision. Turava was absent. The Constitutional Court initially said that it was not authorized to announce the verdict without having the signatures of all its members, but the decision was announced anyway. Hugo Lava's lawyer then said that his client is in illegal detention. On the 17th of September, today, Prison Minister Kakashvili said that the Constitutional Court's ruling concerns legislation, but not the legality of a particular person's detention. Later, the prison ministry issued a statement saying that its judiciary department studied the Constitutional Court's ruling and that according to the imprisonment code, the penitentiary system is only entitled to release a person after a common court has changed or abolished the decision to detain him or her. Lawmaker Eka Beselia, who chairs the Human Rights Committee in Parliament, Turava's buddy, as mentioned, repeated the same in a post on her Facebook page. President Mark Velashvili, on the other hand, stated that the decision of the Constitutional Court is final and should be immediately enforced. Meanwhile, a final hearing is scheduled on the 17th of September at the Tbilisi City Court about one of the criminal cases against Ulava, but he was released anyway late on the 17th. While grape farmers were protesting in Gurjani and Kakheti last week over low grape prices. On the 11th of September, the demonstrators blocked a main road in the town and briefly scuffled with police. Farmers were demanding that authorities increase subsidies, claiming that the existing grape prices fail to cover their expenses. There's reportedly declining export in Georgian wines, which has pushed grape prices down by roughly 40 to 55%, depending on the variety, compared to last year. Georgian wine exports declined by 45.7% in the first eight months of 2015, down to 20 million bottles compared to 36.5 million bottles in the same period of 2014. The fall is caused by a sharp drop in wine exports to Russia and Ukraine, which declined by 58% and 53% year-on-year, respectively, in the period of January to August 2015. The protest on the 11th was in reaction to a protest a day earlier in Gurjani. Responding to the protest on the 10th of September, Minister of Agriculture Otar Danelia said that the government was initially going to scrap the grape subsidy scheme, but decided to keep it, and the government will not increase the subsidy amount. He also said that if the private wine-producing companies and grape processing factories would not buy the excess grapes from farmers, state-owned companies would purchase the remaining stock for 0.6 to 0.85 lari per kilo. Last year's grapes sold for up to 1.9 lari per kilo. So, after a statement about the government's refusal to increase subsidies, there was renewed protest on the 11th of September. On the same day, a group of farmers from Kakheti came to Tbilisi and attended a session of the Parliamentary Committee for Agriculture and Economy, with the facilitation of opposition lawmakers. They were also demanding an increase of state subsidies. Grape farmers continued their protest rally in Gurjani on the 14th of September. Prime Minister Kharabashvili slammed the protest rally as a provocation by the destructive UNM party. He continued to single out UNM lawmaker Georgi Gviniashvili, who was elected from the Gurjani majoritarian single-mandate constituency and who was with the protesters on the 14th of September, saying, "We should get rid of this provocateur." He didn't say what getting rid of means. He said that farmers are being misled and manipulated by the UNM. A leading Chinese engineering firm, the China Taichen Engineering Corporation, is expressing interest in investing in Georgia's gas and energy sector. The 15th of September, representatives of the company met with Prime Minister Kharabashvili, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze, with Georgia's Gas and Oil Corporation in Tbilisi to discuss their plans. They want to construct an underground gas storage building and combined thermal power plant in Georgia. No more details for now. Following up on last week's story on Prime Minister Kharabashvili's visit to China, he met with representatives from Huawei, a leading Chinese telecommunications equipment and service company. They're looking to invest in Georgia, also help Georgian government develop its e-governance, which was, by the way, largely built by Estonians back in the day. The Georgian delegation also met with China Power Investment Company, which reportedly has concrete plans to invest in Georgia and is particularly interested in the Anaklia port. Also during the China visit, the president and newly established Asian Infrastructure and Investment Bank announced that Georgia will be one of the first countries in which the bank will invest. And as a reminder, the Silk Road Fund conference will be held in Tbilisi on the 15th and 16th of October. And the lari, it's depreciating against the dollar again. The National Bank set a new exchange rate as of the 17th of September. $1 is 2.431 lari. Previous exchange rate was 2.417. Also, according to the new exchange rate, the lari is slightly gaining against the euro, which is now 1 euro for 2.7295 lari, while the previous rate was 2.7315. Banks in Tbilisi were selling dollars or up to 2.56 lari. President Mark Velashvili and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko had a phone conversation on the 16th of September. They discussed holding a security conference in Tbilisi, among other things. According to the president's administration, President Mark Velashvili hopes to meet Poroshenko later this month at the 70th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. President Mark Velashvili also had a phone conversation with his Moldovan counterpart, President Nicolae Timofti, the same day. Moldovan president plans to visit Georgia in November. As we mentioned above, the new U.S. ambassador to Georgia, Ian Kelly, arrived in Tbilisi yesterday on the 16th, along with his wife. Today, on the 17th, he presented his credentials to President Mark Velashvili. Kelly has been in the Foreign Service for 30 years. This is his first ambassadorial post. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as ambassador to Georgia in late June, replacing Richard Norlin. The Albanian parliamentary speaker, Ilir Meta, visited Tbilisi on the 14th to 15th of September. He met with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Karabashvili, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, and Foreign Minister Kvitigashvili. Meta said after the meeting with Usupashvili that Georgia and Albania share a common future. Starting on the 14th of September, the Georgian Parliament hosted a two-day open government partnership conference for GLO, Global Legislative Openness Week. The OGP is an initiative by the U.S. and Brazil, originally started by the Soros people, by the way, in which 63 governments work together with citizens to promote transparency, fight corruption, and use technology as an enabler of government openness. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili opened the event. Parliamentary delegations attended from all over the world. The Russian delegation to the OSCE plans to attend the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly session that will be held in Tbilisi in the summer of 2016, according to the Russian parliamentary speaker. Following up on former Georgian officials in Ukraine, reportedly the 15th of September, a petition to dismiss Misha appeared on the web page of the Ukrainian President Poroshenko. The author of the petition says that Misha has not actually fulfilled any of his reform promises as the Odessa governor over the past 3 months and calls on Poroshenko to dismiss him. The petition needs 25,000 signatures in order for the government to discuss it. The petition will be active for 90 days. As a reminder, there was another petition calling for Misha to be appointed as prime minister. It did get the 25,000 signatures. Dato Sakhvaralidze was appointed as the prosecutor of Odessa region and presented to the employees of the prosecutor's office on the 16th of September, according to Ukrainian media. Sakhvaralidze will also continue working in his post as a deputy prosecutor general as well. The Ukrainian Rada, or parliament, scheduled to discuss the dismissal of Health Minister Sandro Kvitashvili on the 17th of September. Kvitashvili submitted his resignation letter on the 2nd of July. The Georgian Education Ministry postponed launching the new ethics school subject, Society and Me. It was expected to be taught in certain grades from the beginning of the fall 2015 semester to raise awareness among pupils about issues of family, school, and community, healthy lifestyle, violence, tolerance, developing social skills, and environmental protection. Earlier this week, the Ministry of Education announced that the subject will not be taught yet in schools because it is still being processed. Textbooks still need to be printed. The program needs to be finalized. So far, it's unknown when the subject will be introduced. Many suspect the program was postponed because it was criticized by conservatives as eroding traditional values. A prominent figure in the conservative religious community, gazillionaire Levon Vasadze, president of the ultra-creepy Demographic Development Fund, expressed displeasure about the Society and Me subject, saying that it will result in the, and I quote, irreversible deformation of the psyche of the younger generation, end quote, and that it will subvert cultural, ethnic, and religious aspects of society under the guise of teaching diversity and tolerance. The Ministry of Education denies that they postponed the curriculum because of that criticism, saying that they've been working towards it for 2 years, holding consultations with schools, education experts, NGOs, and the church. This is a very sad but illustrative development. Following up on previous week's stories, construction of the Nemtsra Dam in Spaneti began on the 16th of September. The construction phase of the project is due to end sometime in 2021. However, the Nemtsra Dam will start producing electricity from 2019. As a reminder, the Korea Water Resources Corporation, or K-Water, is one of the project's main investors, while the construction works will be carried out by the Italian industrial group Salini Imprelio. The EU is allocating 3 million euros to launch a new rural development program with the Ministry of Agriculture. The program consists of three pilot projects that will cover the Lago Dehi, Kazbegi, and Borjomi municipalities. try to increase public participation in civil matters, developing a varied harvest, providing resources to assist overall regional development. First part of the project and the first three rions will last for 28 months. We'll then expand to other regions. For the pilot projects, they'll create local action groups consisting of representatives from local authorities, private sector, civil society, who will work together to develop and implement local development strategies, and they'll be facilitated by three international NGOs already working in Georgia, CARE, People in Need, and Mercy Corps. I am suspicious of anything that envisions setting up things called action groups, but who knows? Let's see if it works. A new $2 million factory for sorting and packaging tea officially opened in Ozurgeti in Guria. It's run by a local tea production company, Georgian Geoplant Company, which produces Gurieli tea, excellent tea, with beautiful graphics, by the way, and was financed by the government's Produce in Georgia program. Following up on flood damage, parts of Tbilisi Zoo reopened on the 13th of September. Some parts of the new road highway linking Tamarashvili Street with the Hero Square, which was damaged by the flood, reopened in the morning of the 14th of September. The National Conference of Small and Medium Businesses of Italy signed an agreement with Abkhazia's Trade Industrial Chamber, representing all the factories in Abkhazia. More than 80 students from Abkhazia were accepted to study at Georgian universities for the new academic year, according to the Gali District Education Resource Center. The students accepted to study at university in Georgia, even though there are prohibitions by Abkhazia's authorities. Abkhazia does not recognize their diplomas, the diplomas obtained in Georgia, and then they can't get employment when returning to Abkhazia, as if they could anyway. Georgian government fully subsidizes bachelor-level studies for students from Abkhazia at Georgian universities who can gain admission. In Armenia, Electric Yerevan protests were revived on the 11th of September against electricity price hikes. The protesters were broken up by police the next day. The semifinal of the Miss Chinese Cosmos pageant is being filmed in Georgia. According to the National Tourism Administration, a team from Chinese TV company Phoenix TV arrived in Tbilisi on the 12th of September along with the 16 beauty pageant girls and will be staying until the 22nd. The girls are visiting Tbilisi and other sites throughout the country learning Georgian national dances while Phoenix TV is filming it, and the whole thing will be an episode that will broadcast in China as part of the pageant. The tour was organized by the Georgian National Tourism Administration together with the Hualing Group Georgia. The episodes have an international audience of 250 million people. About 400 passengers, mostly Georgians, were stuck in Antalya, Turkey last week when their Air Zana flight refused to fly because their tour company, All Tour, didn't pay for the tickets as agreed. Reportedly, the Air Zana plane never left Tbilisi to pick them up. The passengers only found out an hour and a half before. The passengers were returned to Georgia day by day, step by step, according to the director of Air Zana, and the government helped to cover the flights. East Point Shopping and Entertainment Complex in Tbilisi was officially opened by Prime Minister Kahi Kaladze this week. The facility covers an area of 85,000 square meters. Is located along the Kakheti Highway going towards the airport. It has a movie theater with an IMAX screen, a children's entertainment area, electronic superstore, food court, bowling alley, 2,000 parking spaces. Wow, sounds like Dallas. Project was implemented by Quadrum Global, which operates in Georgia by its subsidiary company LLC CBD Development. Sounds like some shell companies to me. East Point's total investment was close to $100 million. There's supposed to be a free bus service from Samgori Metro to reach it. There's also supposed to be new Rustavi East Point Marshutka routes. Prisons Minister Kaha Kakhishvili discussed some proposed reforms they're planning to the probation system. Visitors will no longer have to pay the high fees to visit inmates, and instead visits will be free. They're also in the process of introducing special GPS monitoring bracelets for inmates on home detention to decrease overcrowding in prison. Staff will be trained to offer rehabilitation courses to prisoners, and there will be social workers working with inmates. They plan to present their proposed bill of changes to the government first, then to Parliament. That all sounds fantastic. Then maybe the Georgian prison policymakers can come to the United States and offer training and capacity building to their American partners on the subject. Georgia participated in the 21st Assembly of the United Nations World Tourism Organization in Colombia this week. Mayors of Tbilisi and Minsk reportedly signed a twinning agreement on the 11th of September in Belarus. Minsk will host a Georgian harvest festival at the end of September. 14th of September was the first day back in schools in Georgia. Georgia was eliminated from the 2015 Eurobasket on the 13th of September after a close match against Lithuania in the playoff stage. The Spanetti Museum of History and Ethnography was shortlisted on the 2016 European Museum of the Year Awards. 49 museums were picked by the European Museum Forum for the prize. The criteria is based on visitors' experience and innovation in presentation. The Spanetti Museum was established in 1936, but recently underwent major renovations. Worth seeing. Go check it out. Georgian short film Dinola won 4 awards at the BEU International Short Film Festival in Spain. It was the runner-up for Best Film, also won Best Screenplay, Cinematography, and Costume Design. Dinola is about a strict Swani custom where young widows were separated from their children when they were forced to marry again. Wrestler Vladimir Kinchegashvili became the World Wrestling Champion in 2015 with the competition in Las Vegas. It's the first time in 8 years that a Georgian athlete is World Wrestling Champion. He has also has the right to compete in the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Georgia also won 3 bronze medals in Las Vegas. Georgian basketball forward Nikolos Skitsishvili is returning to the NBA after a 9-year hiatus. He was signed by the Los Angeles Clippers for a 1-year contract. The 32-year-old played in the NBA for 4 different teams between 2002 and 2006, then played for the Lebanese international team Champville. His best statistics from his first NBA season with the Denver Nuggets were 3.9 points on a 29% shooting, averaged 2.2 rebounds, 1.1 assists, and 0.4 blocks per game. A group of Georgian artists presented their works alongside others in the Start Art Fair in London's Saatchi Gallery last weekend. The 4 artists are part of the Tbilisi-based Project Art Beat, which is a startup uniting 22 artists working in various visual genres. The site ArtNet, that's ARTNET.com, praised one for the use of his naive art techniques. Georgia selected the film Moira to complete the 2016 Academy Awards in the foreign language category. It's directed by Levan Tutberidze. It's a drama set on the seaside. Protagonist Mamuko was recently released from prison and is trying to get his family out of poverty. He takes a loan and buys a small fishing boat. Tutberidze also directed a film, A Trip to Karabakh, great movie that everybody should see, Tbilisi, I Love You, and I Will Die Without You. There's a link to the trailer in our Things to Read. In parliamentary news, following up on previous month's stories, on the 16th of September, Parliament passed with its second reading a package of legislative amendments introducing a new rule for selecting and electing the chief prosecutor for a non-renewable 6-year term. Carefully selected 6 years there. Notice the electoral cycle. Currently, the Prime Minister appoints and dismisses a chief prosecutor upon nomination of the Minister of Justice. The bill has yet to be adopted with its third reading. It envisages more complicated procedures for electing the chief prosecutor involving Parliament as well as a new body, the Prosecutorial Council, while the government and justice minister will still keep significant roles in the process. To recap what the bill proposes, a selection of candidates will start with a justice minister holding consultations with representatives of civil society and academic circles. The justice minister then nominates 3 candidates to the prosecutorial council and will have to explain the choices. The prosecutorial council then has to endorse 1 of the 3 candidates with a 2-3 majority vote, that is, the support of at least 10 council members. In the case of a deadlock, the justice minister will have to name a new candidate. After a candidate is endorsed by the prosecutorial council, and the nomination will go to the government, which has the power to block the nomination. In that case, the process selecting new candidates will start over. If the nomination offered by the prosecutorial council is endorsed by the government, the candidate will then have to be confirmed by Parliament. The candidate will need the support of a simple majority, 76 lawmakers, to be confirmed as chief prosecutor. Opposition lawmakers criticized the bill for keeping the government and the ruling coalition's strong role in the process of nominating and confirming a candidate, and that it won't actually depoliticize the prosecutor's office. It is true this will keep the prosecutor largely beholden to the government, meaning the Prime Minister's office largely, because this new council will be via a seemingly broad-based collection of constituencies, but will be appointed by the ruling majority, and they are likely to do what they are told. 6 years is also important, too. That means that whoever comes after this six-year prosecutor will be appointed by the next parliament rather than the one after. They didn't select an eight-year term. The meme this week is a Photoshop photo on Facebook showing Constitutional Court Judge Tudava stuck in an outhouse hinting at why he felt ill at the wrong time. Stuff to read. The Forward looks at Georgia's dwindling Jewish community, but some Jewish life is coming back to the country, mainly in the form of Israeli tourists, and inspiring a number of kosher Georgian restaurants opening around Tbilisi. Foreign Policy has a photo essay on Soviet bus stops featuring the works of Canadian photographer Christopher Herwig. A whole bunch of decaying structures from Abkhazia, Armenia, and Central Asia. They are beautiful. Check them out. This is a really, really cool book and photo essay. The International Business Times profiles Mamuka Mamulashvili, who leads the Georgian Legion fighting Russia in eastern Ukraine. They meet up with him in the U.S., where he's trying to get funding for U.S. vets to train his soldiers. George Lomsadze, the Eurasianet, explores the possibility of Russia using Georgian airspace for military and humanitarian transit to Syria. We know what military and humanitarian transit to Syria from Russia means, since they're rebuilding their giant Navy base there and are doing everything they can to keep Assad in power. A trailer for the film Moira, as mentioned again. We missed this one a few weeks ago. The Washington Post had a list of five Georgian wines to try. This week's CRC blog looks at what Georgians think about journalists. Agenda.ge sums up some information about what kinds of cars Georgian owned. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports on research by IDFI that shows that there are twice as many men as women working in public administration in Georgia. All this stuff to read, post on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 16, which is Georgia's rank in the world budget transparency, according to results of the Open Budget Index 2015 released by the International Budget Partnership. That is number 16 out of 102 countries analyzed. Announcements. In London on the 22nd of October, the British Georgian Society is organizing a tour of the British Library and presenting the Georgian collection. If you are in London or anywhere in the UK or Western Europe, go see this. Call them if you want to attend. It is very, very cool. On that note, the British Georgian Society is having an annual meeting on the 18th of November at the Georgian Embassy in London. Two of the directors are stepping down. They're looking for nominations. Contact them for more interest, for more information. The real Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, is coming to Tbilisi on the 28th of November. He'll speak on straight-line persuasion, his program on how to be a successful salesperson using ethical persuasion. It will be at Tbilisi Concert Hall. Get tickets at wallstreet.ge. On the 10th of October, there'll be a Tbilisi Electronic Music and Balloon Festival at Chuspa or Turtle Lake. Looks like it's going to be a big party. Check it out on Facebook. 17th and 18th of October will be Tbilisi Soba. Tbilisi City Hall earlier launched a public competition for new ideas for Tbilisi Soba. Put three ideas on their page. People were able to vote for the ones they liked. The winner was Nino Lelashvili, who recently returned to Georgia after doing her master's in the Netherlands. She proposed having photo booths in the city. There also might be some 3D art projections. Works by contemporary French painter François-Marie Antonin and Mino are going on display at the Tsinindali Alexandre Chachavadze Museum in Kakheti for one day on the 19th of September. The Georgian Sino Fioretta Orchestra will perform under the direction of Germany's Christopher Meyer, a renowned Baroque violinist. All of the beautiful people are going to be at this concert on Saturday. If you can go, go. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tfilpod, tblpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tfilpod.com. And we will finish with the glorious Texas band, seen many, many times during the Mullen High School years in some deeply twisted and disturbing venues. This is the Butthole Surfers with, by the way, the greatest video ever from 1996. This is Pepper.
Sharky got with Sharon, and Sharon got Sharia. She was sharing Sharon's outlook on the topic of disease. Mikey had a facial scar, and Bobby was a racist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Tommy played piano like a kid out in the rain. And then he lost his leg in Dallas. He was dancing with the train. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lie. You never know just how to look through other people's eyes.
Pursuit and fiery auto crashes. Some will die in hot pursuit while sifting through my ashes. Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how you look through other people's eyes.
Another Mikey took a knife while arguing in traffic. Flipper died a natural death. He caught a nasty virus. Then there was the ever-present football player rapist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Holly caught a bullet, but it only hit his leg. Well, it should have been a better shot. Got him in the head. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes. The images it shows.